Where do things stand in North Carolina and across the country as we get set for what is shaping up to be a very pivotal midterm? Tom Jensen is the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website. And he joins us now on the phone with some of the latest numbers. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So I know you've conducted literally hundreds of surveys for various congressional districts and other races across the country in recent weeks. What are you seeing now as we head into early voting and just a couple of weeks out from Election Day?
I think the biggest takeaway is just really how many close races there are right now, which sort of leaves the outcomes that we're going to have in 3 weeks pretty uncertain, maybe even more so than they usually are. And that's all sort of rooted in gerrymandering across the country. Basically, what happened when Republicans won the 2010 election in most of the key states across the country, including North Carolina, is that they drew up as many congressional districts and as many legislative districts as possible that in a normal sort of election would give a Republican about a 10-point advantage. And this year, the country is about 10 points more Democratic than it usually is. And what that's doing is bringing all of these Republican-drawn seats that were supposed to give their party about a 10-point advantage into the toss-up range, where we see all those races sort of within 2 or 3 points one way or the other. So that really leads to a pretty wide spectrum of outcomes where if Democrats are actually able to win a bunch of those seats by a couple points, you can end up with Democrats making huge gains in Congress and huge gains in state legislatures across the country, including North Carolina. But there's a really thin line between that outcome and between Republicans winning the lion's share of those races by a couple points. Maybe it only turns out the country's 8 points more Democratic than usual. And if that happened, you could actually get to a situation in terms of, sort of number of seats won, where even if Democrats did really well in the big picture, they might come out disappointed by how many of those close district level races they were actually able to win. So there's really a thin line that separates it from being just a gigantic Democratic year to maybe one Democrats would be a little bit disappointed with.
Now, is that similar to what we've been seeing in polls and surveys throughout the year, or are trends kind of changing as we get closer to the election?
No, it is pretty consistent with what we've seen over the course of the year, although that's a little bit telling in and of itself. Often what happens if it's going to be a really big wave election for one party or the other is that by this point, 19 days out from the election, things will start really breaking in the direction of the party that's going to have a good year. And that's not really happening. So I think that's actually a little bit of a cautionary note for Democrats who are hoping to have a really strong year. For instance, in 2006, which was sort of the last big midterm wave election for Democrats, by the middle of October, you started to just see races really moving over to the Democratic side. And what we're seeing this year is more that things have just sort of stayed steady over the course of the year. There's a bunch of congressional districts we've polled this month that we also did polling on in October of 2017. And the polls that we did in October of 2017 could pretty much be swapped for the polls that we've done in October of 2018 without the results having changed very much. And I think that's a function of how much more polarized the country has gotten over the last 12 years. In 2006, there were a lot of sort of swing voters who, as the election got near, were, just willing to say, okay, I'm voting Democratic. I'm not happy with George W. Bush. I'm going to vote Democratic this time around. Now people are so much more sort of firmly entrenched into Democratic or Republican camps that you're not seeing that sort of late breaking movement. Everything's sort of just staying in place. And that means that it's a huge fight for get out the vote to see in a lot of these districts who can come out ahead 51-49.
So with that in mind, I know we look at enthusiasm as one of the kind of the key factors in determining which side is doing a better job this year at getting out the vote. Are we seeing any changes there?
Yeah, the enthusiasm stuff has really sort of leveled out. For most of the election cycle, Democrats were showing up as much more enthusiastic in polls than Republicans were. And then I think Republicans really sort of got re-energized by the Kavanaugh fight, not necessarily to vote for Republicans, but there was one poll this week that really showed that the reason Republicans are getting more energized is because the Kavanaugh fight reminded them how much they hate Democrats. So they've gotten more energized to vote this year, not really to vote for anything in particular, but just to go vote against Democrats because they hate them so much. And I was interested to see from the first day of early vote numbers in North Carolina, and you shouldn't read too much into the first day of early vote numbers, but a lot of the time Democrats just totally dominate early voting, and Republicans then have to make up for it on Election Day. The people who voted early yesterday across the state, there was a 13-point Democratic registration advantage. It's actually not that much bigger than the 9-point Democratic registration advantage that that there is among all the voters in the state overall. I would have expected to see something more like Democrats had a 20-25-point advantage in terms of who turned out on the first day of early voting. It doesn't mean it's bad news for Democrats by any means that it was only a 13-point advantage, but what I think it speaks to is there were a lot of Republicans who were excited to go out and vote on the first day of early voting, too. It's not the dynamic that I think at some points during this election cycle we might have thought we would see, where Democrats were really excited to go out and vote as early as they possibly could and Republicans wouldn't be.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the website. Find him on social media at PPPpolls. So what are some of the key issues? I know we've talked about health care as being one of the kind of the central issues that's moving voters this year. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's sort of curious. I think that Republicans have benefited a little bit over the last 2 weeks because the topic changed off of the things that Republicans have sort of been seen as not having done a very good job with during this couple of years that they've had total control in Washington. And I think Mitch McConnell really sort of caused problems for Republicans this week by saying that, you know, if they keep total control, they might try to get rid of Obamacare again, which now Obamacare has gotten quite popular, and trying to get rid of it last summer is how we started heading towards a strong Democratic election year to begin with. And then, of course, the other thing he said was that they're going to have to look at making big cuts to Social Security and Medicare. And messing around with Social Security and Medicare is often about number one on the list of the ways politicians in Washington can sort of run themselves afoul of voters. So it's going to be interesting to see how effectively Democrats can sort of exploit those comments that McConnell made this week in this closing stretch of the campaign. One big sort of piece of news over the last few weeks that I know we haven't talked about yet is just how massive the Democratic fundraising numbers are across the country. All these House and Senate candidates are just raising amounts of money that are completely unprecedented for these sorts of races. And Democrats are raising a heck of a lot more money than Republicans are, which is a little bit unusual. And what that means is that Democrats have a huge amount of resources to deploy here over the last 19 days of the campaign, and it'll be interesting to see the extent to which that money advantage does or does not help them build an actual vote advantage. Sometimes you have a zillion dollars and you still lose because you don't use the money effectively enough. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, any other numbers that you're seeing that people ought to know?
Just the other thing I would point out is that that same dynamic that I talk about across the country for there being so many races that are in sort of this anywhere between a Democrat up by 2 points and a Republican up by 2 points sort of range really holds true for North Carolina legislative races as well. Obviously, our legislative races in Orange County itself aren't very competitive, but if people, be they Democrats or Republicans, are interested in going out and volunteering for a campaign here in the last few weekends before the election comes, there's a very competitive state house race in Alamance County right next door. There's a very competitive house race down in Lee County, just a little bit south of us. And then there's three really competitive house races in Wake County. So if people are interested in doing something to sort of get involved, as we're seeing so much energy related to this election, there's a lot of really tight as a tick legislative races without going too far away from Orange County that people can get involved in.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Find them on Twitter at PPPpolls. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.